Hello, welcome to Thoughtful Anarchy. Hey, I'm Sunshine.
I'm TT. Back. Look, I got my DeBrat braid, so, you know.
Oh, she's feeling like she's cute today. That's nice. That's really nice. I love when we feel amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is the second segment of Ask a Black Lady. Mm-hmm. Again, thank you for sending your questions. Please feel free to continue doing so. Everyone will remain anonymous, and we really appreciate it because one, it gives us content, and two,
right.
I mean, if it helps you gain perspective from another person's lifestyle in order to be more empathetic, sympathetic to another person's plight,
to be become a better white person.
Huh. Well, to become a better person as a whole, a more sympathetic person.
Yes,
I think that this is a great endeavor. I look forward to working on this project. So let's begin with our first question.
Yes.
Are you wary of police officers / law enforcement? If so, why?
So I'm a saint. Like, I've never been arrested. I've never, you know, I don't have a criminal background. So I love my police officers. So thank you for your service. Go blue. Keep doing what you do.
Is that your answer for real?
No, so of course we're weary of police officers, duh, being black people. Like, just simply riding down the road, when you see a cop, you know, I think in most countries, like, they welcome the police. You know, when you see them, I think, like, in England, like, yeah, the police, hey, you're here to protect us. Like, you know, for us, for the most part, I see a police officer, I'm like, oh, especially if I'm driving, like, oh, shit, like, was I speeding? You know, you're slowing down. You just don't see them as friendly, protective people. You feel like they're there to not protect, but to actually serve your ass. So, you know, just with the history of this company in this country, you know, with police, you know, we're definitely weary, and we just feel like, you know, they're not going to always be on our side. Like, we're guilty until proven innocent. So, I'll be honest with you, I haven't had too many bad run-ins with the police because, you know, I'm an upstanding citizen and I always do what's right. And but, you know, I've seen things happen in the community that I'm not happy with, and that's pretty much, you know, what I'm gonna say about that.
I too consider myself a mild-mannered black woman. But I've never been in a situation where police presence or law enforcement's presence has been advantageous to me. I remember one time I was at my home, a former residence, and I came while there was a robbery being commissioned. So I'm in the house and the robbers are in the house. So I call the police, you know, 911, the operator. Supposedly, they're coming. The police station is less than 2 miles away. They get there an hour and a half later while I'm hiding in the garage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then when I ask, what the fuck?
Where y'all been?
Took so long for people to get here. Apparently, I sounded too calm on the phone. So they didn't think
What they said?
Yeah, they didn't think I was in immediate danger. Additionally, when I asked, well, what's the likelihood of getting my things back? They said, oh, you'll probably never see it again. What the fuck is the point of them being there if you're not going to do your goddamn job, right? So even if they catch the person and find my items, then it goes to police auction, all this other bullshit, right? I've never been in a situation where I found them to be
helpful
in any manner. And additionally, I always feel wary. I'm always hyper-vigilant when I'm outside in the world of any police. If I see them at the entry of the store, if I see them on the road somewhere, mm-hmm. I'm always keyed into their location because you never know when the situation may go awry because the police have too much power in this country.
That's true.
Like we've armed these men and women with inadequate training and who have their own implicit biases and they can commit what deadly force on us. Like they can harm us, they can kill us arbitrarily. And then
they don't have to worry about being punished.
No, because the consequences never meet. Tamar Rice, right?
Tamar.
Mm-hmm. Is it Tamar?
Yes, Tamar Rice.
Tamir? Okay. Yeah, T-A-M-I-R. Yeah, it's Tamir Rice. He was a young black boy.
12 years old.
Playing with a toy gun. And I know that can look whatever it looks to people on the outside. But instead of approaching the situation with clarity and foresight, they just roll up on him and shot him. Shot him, right? Because what? A black boy who's potentially a threat to society or to the world or to the environment, they don't have any time to question him further. They don't have any time to assess the situation.
Or just, to even say, you know, hey, put your hand, put the gun down. Like, they, you just know, it's like him, they just rolled up and capped his ass. Like,
they just see his blackness as a threat.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of ideology permeates the black community, because how are we supposed to trust people, right, who don't give us the benefit of the doubt? Because I don't think police officers were, I mean, at its impetus, they were there to catch enslaved people, to keep us as property.
Yeah.
So when the
black, that was the origin.
That was the origin of the police rollers. Force.
Yeah.
So perhaps it's just a continuation of that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we supposed to think anything differently when they don't act as if they give a fuck about us? So I will continue to remain wary of the police until something changes, unless there's a shift in the lexicon, or unless they do a better job of funding actual resources and projects and programs that help solve the issues that requires like heavy policing.
Yeah, because I don't know if you remember, I think Joe Biden, he pretty much lit into recently, was it like the Black Caucus or somebody he was meeting with, and basically he pretty much told them, stop saying defund the police.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't like the slogan defund the police.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess because people just wasn't getting the fact, like kind of like with what's his name, kneeling for the flag. Like they were like, oh, he's being unpatriotic, he's being disrespectful to the flag. When it wasn't, it's not really about the flag. It's about the injustice and the murders of unarmed, you know, black people in America. And I think they're taking defund the police literally as if like they're gonna, you know, get rid of the police and fire this and that. It's like, no, we're just going to redistribute the funds.
But say that. Yeah. I think that's different from what Kaepernick was doing. Well, Kaepernick, it's not like Kaepernick can be on the field and be like, well, this is what I mean. The national anthem, I'm not standing. It's not like he can give that whole blob, right? That blurb. But when he was asked about it, that's what he presented.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever he did it, this
but
is
even,
what I meant.
Even though that's what he said he meant, but they still, for whatever reason, they didn't want to hear that. They're like, no, if he's not standing for the national anthem, he's being disrespectful.
I feel like that's different from your.
But if defund the police, if they're telling us like, no, that doesn't mean like we're just gonna.
But listen to the people.
We're
who
gonna
did
get
it.
Rid of the police department. We're just gonna.
Have you heard
allocate funds to other things?
The Black Lives Matter leaders talk about it. So I listened to them talk about it, and they said defund the police means different things to different people. Okay. That is not how you distribute a message. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're an entity trying to get something done, you need a unified message. You can't say, oh, well, they think this over there. Oh, well, they think this over there. They think this over there. It's going to confuse the message and people are going to twist it to serve their needs. So when if I were to give the message, I'd say redistribute the bloated budget,
the bloated budget
that most law enforcement agencies have to actual community resources that
could prevent
some of these
a
incidents.
Lot of these incidents and
that's
arrests.
What I would say, but it's not a catchy slogan. Defund the police. It's not a good hashtag.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But that's, I mean, because of the nature of police,
that's,
social media.
Yeah,
like
that's
perhaps,
the world we're in. Like, you got to have those sound bites.
But it's not effective. You can see all the calamity it's causing.
Yeah.
Yeah. When people don't fully understand. This is why I will get into it with anyone, right? Because if you're misunderstanding me, that's the quickest way to piss me off. Because if you misunderstand something I say, ask me to clarify. And I don't mind clarifying.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea, to me, the human experience means that we understand each other.
Yeah.
And tries to, like, even if we disagree, we have some level of civility
and have a conversation about it instead of just assuming and then it's this, you know, anger.
Yes. And that's what's happening, right? Because I believe that the police has too much money. I believe the military has too much money.
Too much money and too much power.
Yes. All of that. And none of the liability, because you can't really sue police officers like that. You have to sue the city.
Right.
Because they're absolved from liability. So you're telling me this person who can kill someone legally, government-sanctioned murder,
mm-hmm.
they're not liable for their actions? That is crazy to me.
But
so,
that's America.
No, because I do not want to live in that kind of America. I am here. Let me tell you. You know what I hate?
For president.
Don't give my name. I'll tell you that.
Oh.
Bleep it.
You gonna bleep that out?
Of course I'm gonna bleep it. Are you crazy?
Sunshine for president.
Sunshine for no. I have too many things on my record. Unlike TT, your girl was, you know, kind of.
Look, I could be like, I'm trying to think, what president was that? Was that Bush? Where it was like he was president, but it was somebody else, like Cheney, calling the shots.
Mm. Well, you see,
I could be president. You could just tell me what.
Well, my issue is, right, I don't like the vitriol in politics, and I'm a sensitive cat. I can't be dealing with things like
that.
Are
you sensitive?
I am sensitive. I'm a sensitive little bird. I can't be dealing with things like that. But I definitely, within my sphere, I can get things. I don't mind being the brain, I don't mind being a think tank, because I don't desire to necessarily, I know we're doing the social media thing, but my ultimate desire, I don't want to be like super, super like famous or anything like that.
Why? If it happens.
I don't like people thinking that it could be my business. And I don't like having the world on me. I live my life in relative anonymity, and I feel very comfortable in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Doing this, right, because I see in places, right, I want to show that black women can be anything and be everything. We can be mediocre. We can be amazing. Mm-hmm. We can be strong. We can be sensitive. We can be fragile. We can be vulnerable. I want us to be able to be all these things and not have people try to make us feel weak for it.
Yeah.
I want us to be able to be as mediocre as the next white man. All right. Ooh. That's what I want. Because mediocre men.
Why did it make us feel bad for being mediocre?
Because I actually.
Do you notice that? Like if you're not making moves, if you're not up, you know, 24 hours a day working hard, it's just like, oh, you're lazy. You're not living up to your best potential. But, you know, like you're saying, like, I know people who are just mediocre and it's okay.
Yeah. And nobody, like, they don't have the same smoke for them that they have for us.
Right.
I mean, it was an archetype. I forgot the woman's name. I'll send you the video later. Mm-hmm. And I'll put a video in the link below. There's a woman back in the day, back when there was, like, Jim Crow civil rights. The archetype of, like, the black woman was this kind of mammy character, or this Jezebel, or this lazy character. Mm-hmm. So she switched the message, like, we're strong black women. We lift everybody's voices.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been, it was successful.
Okay.
But also, I feel like it hurts a lot of black women because it's to our emotional and mental and physical detriment.
Yeah.
Because we have to be these pillars of strength when sometimes we may just not be.
Yeah. And I mean, I used to be like that. Like, oh, I got to make sure I'm doing this and doing that. And then it's like, it's okay if you want to be lazy for a day or.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I feel like the people that do the least and just lead regular lives are the most happy.
yeah.
No, because they're not feeling like they're having to live up to this expectation of others. So
it would be nice, right? Because
I mean, in this America, like we're living in the, you know, supposedly one of the best nations, richest nations on earth. I just don't feel like why do we have to work so hard? I don't get it.
I agree. Like 5 days a week to work when you only have 2 days rest, that don't make sense. That doesn't seem
we
balanced
should just
to me.
Have to work hard, maybe a good 3-4. Like we need to split it up.
I've been working 5 days a week for a minute now and it's killing me.
Yeah.
And like my fucking goodness. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't, because before I was able to control my schedule where I worked, you know, 4 days or 3 days. But this, I'm not supposed to be doing stuff like that.
Right.
I need ample time to rest and be alone and just rest my covers. But I don't feel like I feel like if I were to tell somebody that they view me as lazy.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, you lazy.
And
right.
You just want to be a bum. I'm like, no. Like they've indoctrinated you into this idea that you need to be like busting your ass for these companies that don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
And I know these companies at its inception didn't give a fuck about somebody who looked like me. They'll work me to death.
They'll work you to death. And then as soon as you fall out and die, it'll be the next person online.
Yeah. It had this guy in my office. He passed away and there wasn't even an announcement. No announcement, anything. Just, I didn't see him at his desk for a couple of weeks and I said, what's up? And then they told me. It was crazy. And then somebody just came in and usurped his position. It was madness.
I know. I remember I was supposed to replace somebody at this company. I ended up turning them down. But I was like, yo, so how does this position come about? It was like, oh, she just suddenly died. You know, unexpectedly. But she just died last week. And they were like, I guess because they had already, I got referred by somebody else I work with. I'm like, damn, the lady probably even had her funeral yet. And y'all already in here interviewing me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cause you could tell.
Yeah. You're just a number. So, yes, we're very weary of police officers. You know, like I said, I haven't had a lot of bad run-ins. But, you know, my family members, definitely had some issues. I've watched like the cops follow one of my family members home just to arrest him. As soon as he get in the front yard, jump out and, you know, arrest him. Oh, I had an incident too where I called the cops. Mm-hmm. I might be sharing too much, but I had an ex who I let use my car. This was in my younger days. And come to find out, he was somewhere he wasn't supposed to be. And I found the car. And, you know, I called the cops and I'm like, yo, like this person has my car. I pretty much reported my car stolen. And, you know, they never came.
Oh, nice.
They never came.
So not surprising. Where was this?
You say where?
Yeah.
It was here. It was in Georgia. Union City. Good to I know. Called the Union City. They never came out. And eventually I had to, you know.
Good to know.
Make him drive my car home, but they never came.
Keep my black ass out of
that. It was just like, okay, what's the address, ma'am? Blah, 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 blah. They never came.
I mean, it's not surprising. It seems like supposedly they're so pressed about crime, but whenever it's happening to us, like, we're to the us, victims. Yeah.
And like you said, maybe it wasn't one of those things where I was on the phone like,
oh, they wanted to be hysterical.
But I'm like, I'm telling you, this person has my car, and my car's in a location that it's not supposed to be in. Mm-hmm. And I can't get in contact with this person. And they're pretty much intentionally ignoring me about my vehicle. So they didn't care.
No. I feel like it's very selective and it's very biased.
Yeah.
So, until that changes, until we see actual change, I have no interest in trying to give them any caveats.
Okay, I did almost get arrested when I was pregnant.
Well, that's nice. Sounds like a good story for this. We'll make a movie about it later. Okay, next question. Do you actually like white men, or do you like that they like you? And in parentheses, they put fetishizing of black women by white men.
In my case, like, I've never dated a white guy. I don't know if there's ever been a white guy that I liked enough to want to date. You know, before I was married, but I mean, I'm open to, I would be, you know, if it was an opportunity, I would date them. But I do feel like there are fetishes.
Okay.
For black guys. I remember one time, and I guess just growing up in a certain neighborhood and not really being around a lot of white people on a daily basis, I was offered, actually, he was my boss at the time at this bank that I worked at. And I could just kind of tell he liked me because, you know, he just was very nice. I ended up finishing my associate's degree, which, you know, it's okay, but I didn't think it was that big of an accomplishment. But he was just so excited. He gave me a raise, you know, that's for nice. That. And then proceeded to ask me to join him and his homeboys or his friends on a golf outing.
I thought you were going to say a nightcap.
No, he was like, hey, you know, we're going to play golf this weekend. And, you know, me being, I think I may have been like 19 at the time. I was just like, I'm not going up. Like, y'all serial killers. Like, I don't want to end up in the canal. White men been in drug me.
What was this?
This is in Florida.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Oh, it's South Florida. So, I think then I think I did think it was more of a fetish, like, oh, you know, they just want some of this black meat. And I was like, you know, I did sin in that aspect. But I guess as I got older, you know, I don't see it that way. And I think white men secretly, a lot of them secretly like black women, but won't admit it.
Say more.
You know, like, they'll try to flirt with us.
But why wouldn't they admit it?
Because sometimes in society, I mean, I just hate to say it, still to this day, it's not, it's kind of frowned upon, you know, for some white men to be attracted to or want to date black women.
Why, though? I want to hear you say why.
You want me to say
what? Say why they think it's not acceptable to date black women. If she don't want to say, I'll say it, right? Because black women are seen as the least desirable people.
We're
right?
Yeah, we're in not seen. World. We're seen like low on the bottom.
I'm not even saying of women, of people.
Yeah,
like
It's like, why would you want to date her? She's
black. Yeah. The dregs, like the bottom of the barrel. That's what we're
bottom
seeing.
Bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah. In any society, right? I've said this before. In any society, the people who are seen as the least worthy, the least deserving, the least
desirable,
black people in general, and then under black people, black women. Mm-hmm. And it's frightening that it is still very real to this day that we can't possibly, we can't, oh, like, okay, this is what I'm saying. When we try to bolster ourselves, mm-hmm. right? Then people get upset, like, oh, if we're talking about, like, black women are beautiful, black girl magic, why can't we say white girl magic, da 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 da? Because the world has never systematically said that right. you are ugly,
you're already
that
accepted.
You're hideous, that you're only useful for your labor, for your body, for your suffering, for your trauma, all these things. Mm-hmm. I went to a PWI, and that is a predominantly white institution.
Okay.
For my higher education. And I am a woman with stature.
Yeah, you're pretty poise, tall.
Yes. Yeah. And I have a certain presence that perhaps can be intimidating to some.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not what I would consider, you know, like when you're, like you say, you're at a PWI, they don't want, like you said, women of your stature being black to be so strong and so
visible.
Yeah, visible. They just want you to be in the background, doing your work, being quiet.
But I used to have a lot of men in secret, like try to tuck me into dark corners and say, wow, you should sire my children and you should be with me, but only in secret because I don't want anyone to know. Like I was some kind of shameful, shameful sin. And as you can imagine, if you were someone like me at the time, I internalized that. And it made every situation I had in terms of romantic relationships fraught. Because I always wondered, like, am I some... And even to this day, if somebody was like, oh, I just want to keep this quiet. Man, fuck you. Quiet for what? We two grown-ass people. If you don't want to deal with me on the up and ups, then don't talk to me.
Yeah.
But it was a result of that, right? Because I've never experienced a situation where someone would just be ashamed to be with someone who looks like me. And I do think in some aspects they fetishize, because I used to get things like, oh, my cocoa goddess or my chocolate queen. I'm like, I'm not food. I'm a person. You can't eat me unless you eat me, if you know what I'm saying. But I'm not
food.
But
why they just can't say, you know, my queen or hey, beautiful.
Yeah, something like that. What's up, babes? What I go on, B-A-B? Like, things like that, right? But it definitely feels... If I'm wary, I definitely have to suss out your intentions, and I feel like it's made me a bit paranoid and perhaps over cautious as a result. Mm-hmm. So I'm always trying to, what are your intentions? If I can't discern them immediately, then I just want to stop it.
And then my thing is, it's like when you hear white guys, like one of the first things they want to say is like, oh, you know, especially if you feel like they're flirting with you, they have to let you know, oh, I've had a black girl before, or oh, I've had black friends. Like they have to let you know in advance, like,
yeah, they're down. Yeah.
Like, I'm down. Like, I understand.
Like, I know what's up.
Like, you know, I done dated a black girl before, and I'm just like, okay. So, it's not like, so when you date white women, do you say, I've dated white women before? Mm. Like, why do you have to make it known when you're approaching me that you're down for the cause?
I mean, I do think that perhaps with other black people, I definitely am cautious of a certain type of white person. And if I see that they
which
have,
one of the ones that be like yo that be trying to seem like they're
that's horrible but at least I know
but they're out there though.
No, but at least I know that they're trying. I'm more cautious of the people who are wary of me, because if somebody's trying to like get you to accept them, I feel like there's some level of bridge that you can you can circumvent, right? But with other people who are aware, like who are skirting you from the corners, those are the people I am watching. And those are the people who tend to be like secretly into you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
They hate that they like somebody who would look like you. Because I used to get messages all the time from people, but like, oh, like even now, people would hit me up and be like, in school, I always wanted to talk to you and be with you. And I'm just like, But you had the opportunity. Shit.
And they're white?
Yeah. Oh, young me would have been so down for it because, you know, star for affection, et cetera, et cetera.
You must
know.
Have that attraction because I think I told you one time I was, you know, at someone's house, this white rich client. And I was trying to, I think I had posted a picture on my business page. You had just got your hair done or something.
Me?
Yeah. And he wanted some of you, honey.
Oh, that's nice. You didn't tell, you said he's rich?
I did tell you that.
You said he was rich? Wait, how long ago was that? Let me backtrack.
That's probably like a, whenever the last, probably when you, I don't know if it when you came to visit back for the first time after you
from Cali?
Yeah, and you came by. And remember you took the picture in front of the.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's probably because I was just jet setting. You know, I was back and forth.
Yeah. And he saw your picture on the Instagram page, and he was like, who's that? Like, I was like,
oh, well, if you still got this plan, your girl.
I mean, he has a girlfriend now.
We can all be girlfriends.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I'm into that.
I'll let him know.
Let him know.
Y'all the same age, too.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Just learn something.
But I thought I told you, but I guess you probably wasn't paying attention. Then you were back in California, so you probably was like,
eh. Yeah, I mean, I used to be a jet setter everywhere. You just
I was just like, really? Like, oh. Because basically at that time, we were like trying to find him someone. And, you know, he's one of those people like he just likes everybody. He's had black girlfriends, whatever. And actually, I was trying to get him with somebody else, but he saw you on my page and he was just like, who is that?
I know, I'm amazing. I'm super amazing. That doesn't surprise me. But yes, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
But
later.
Yes, I definitely do tend to be a bit wary. And I just need to, with anyone, I need to know intentions. But solely because of this kind of racial divide and bridging that gap, I tend to be overly cautious in these specific situations. Okay, next.
But did you answer the question? Do you like white men?
Do you actually like my one? I like all people.
Okay.
I like them. I mean, I said that in the last video.
Yeah, I mean,
like
saying to me.
Tall, white, American Samoan, Pacific Islander. I'm into everything. Okay. I skip this one.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it, Bonnie?
No. I don't even want to talk about this one. We could talk about that later. Because I don't feel like we both have this issue. Or do you want to talk about it?
I don't have that. I mean, you know,
you don't have that issue.
Make a little jokes about it, but I don't think it's you're shunned.
Well, just so we could tell you what the question is. It says, do other black people really look down or shun you because you talk white?
You say you never had that issue.
I don't think I have that issue here in America, but I think with my family, so how I'm speaking now, they'll tell me I'm speaking like an American, but I'm speaking in this fashion so that you can understand me. Because if I were to speak like how I speak colloquially, there would be a fraying of understanding, which I don't anticipate. Right. I'm trying to be able to speak in a fashion, use a dialect that, I mean, I'm pretty sure people still hear that I have an accent, but it's not so hard that you can't understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not anything that's been a really big deal to me.
And I mean, I don't, because I'm able to switch back and forth. Like I said, I remember one time my aunt called my job and she didn't know it was me because I sound different on the phone. And, you know, just growing up in school, I mean, kids find anything to pick at you about. So, I mean, there was incidents where, you know, people would pick at people that spoke, as they would say, proper English. You know, oh, you sound white, or you're trying to be like white people, this and that. You know, it happens. But as far as the question go, I haven't personally been shunned because I switch it up.
I think I've been looked down on because of my accent.
But would that be by who?
By black people.
Oh.
Black people and white people. You know, again, I went to a PWI and a few black people, like there were -6 black people. And when I came, it was -1. And we were there, right? And then they had like this one black woman who was trying to chastise me for speaking in my accent. She was saying something along the lines of, do you want these people to think you're a fucking idiot? Like, why are you talking like that?
Wow.
And I swear to God, I almost mushed her to death.
Wow.
But it was such a wild thing. But I did think people looked down on me because for the first month I got there, they didn't think I spoke English.
I just think that's not because of, like, talking white. That's just like just anybody, whenever you go somewhere and you're different, it's like people for whatever reason they don't like things, if they don't understand it, they shun you or they...
they get angry or defensive.
Yeah, they talk down on you. So it's not about like...
no, it's not a white thing.
Like, yeah, that's it's just being different.
Yeah, this question wasn't like something that pertained to us. So, but because you ask it, we're going to answer. But yeah. But I don't think that's...
I mean, it happens. It, like you said, sure it hasn't happened to us. I've heard instances of it. But it hasn't personally happened to me. But yes, it does happen. For whatever reason.
This one. How can I explain racism to my child? That's a loaded question. And I think that would be our last question for this segment. Okay. You go, since you're actually a mother.
But that's not for me. That's for like... so these are from like white people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like... so we're trying to tell them how to explain racism to their child. Yeah, actually
that's how we do it.
Good grief. I would just say, you know, you just let them know that, for one, you got to give them the history, you know, as to how this country was founded. I mean, it was...
the real history.
The real history. Because it was founded on, or it became about race when they brought the African slaves here during slavery, and just the disenfranchisement of, you know, just human beings. And
don't block your mouth.
Oh, I'm locking my mouth. I'm sorry. I guess it's just hard being a black mother because I've just never had to explain racism.
You haven't explained racism to yourself?
I mean, like...
how it could affect them?
I mean, well, how it can affect them, but
yeah.
from their perspective, they're asking us, like, how do they explain racism to their child?
Well, just give them an example of how you explain to your child and then see how...
like, for me, for my children, especially, like, for my son, like, I have to let him know he has to, unfortunately, when he goes out into this world, conduct this way in a manner to where he's, you know, not a focus of the police or get involved with things that may cause attention. He has to carry himself a certain way. You know, he has to be able to speak and be calm, to pretty much almost obey, you know, certain rules of society so he doesn't get killed. Like, when I think about speaking about my children, it's about surviving and staying alive.
Well, you see, that is helpful because how they can position it is like you telling them, this is what other mothers have to tell their children because of the way they look.
Right.
And that's something they can't control.
So basically, you can't judge people automatically, you know, just based on their skin complexion.
At all.
Right.
Because you don't know what they're going through.
Right. And then they just have to understand the different plights of different races. Of course, everybody's different. We all come from different backgrounds. We're going to see the world differently. And you just got to make sure, like you telling your kids, you know, to give people the benefit of the doubt without instantly judging them just because they're black or just because they're black and wearing a hoodie or just because they like hip hop music. You know, things of that nature, because everybody that's, you know, black or wear a hoodie or dress a certain way isn't a thug. They're not a criminal. So, because my son, he loves to wear hoodies. And, you know, my son is he's a gentle giant. He has locks. And that's another thing. Like, they see people with dreads or locks, whatever you call them. They just automatically assume, like, you know, they're into something illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, black people do it too. I've heard black people say, you know, if they see some kids or somebody walking down the street and they're dressed a certain way, it's like, oh, what are they doing? What are they up to? And they could just be just kids just hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would just say, just make sure you give, you know, people the benefit of the doubt and don't just judge them, you know, based on their appearance. Or I think we spoke about this earlier, you know, just because you see somebody and they're present, don't just automatically think that they're violent or aggressive because they look a certain way or they talk a certain way.
I think one of the ways you explain it too is go from a human perspective, because despite how anyone may look, they're human as well.
Yeah.
So a human beings as a whole, we're deserving of empathy. I think that it's hard, especially in this kind of world that everything is like sound bites, like you say, and everything is with social media, everybody's quick to judge.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who experience life different from you because of how they look, and that's something they can't control.
Mm-hmm.
So what sense would it make to demonize them for that? Mm-hmm. Something that they never asked for. Every one of us was put on this world and we didn't ask for it, right? And some of us were born and we looked a certain way and our body grew a certain way. Like, would you like somebody to judge you solely because your knee, one knee is higher than the other? Like, is that something you can control?
Unless right.
I think it behooves us to go back to like basic, like just basic human interaction.
Yeah.
We're all on the same planet. We're sharing it. Mm-hmm. As such, we need to learn how to cooperate and work together. And there are some people who are going to experience life differently than you because of how they look. But when you see those type of things happening, it's not something to laud or something to endorse. It is something to continue to fight against and seek to educate people. I know I have a lot of white friends who are just like, why would you ever do something like that? I have like people ask you questions about a black lady, like your experience. And I was like, why wouldn't I? I know a lot of black people don't like people asking them questions about the black experience. And that is fine. That point of view is valid. But I think the only way that the one thing I like to say is that ignorance cannot withstand contact.
Mm-hmm.
So constant contact. So you have contact,
to ask the question.
Yeah, education. If you educate people, if we're more in the presence of these people and more in the presence of these cultures,
you wouldn't be ignorant.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I think like this rise of nationalism and populism have people pushing back against the idea of multiculturalism, like it's some type of like horrid word. But mm-hmm. what is so crazy about all of us who share the same planet learning more about each other and experiencing each other's cultures? I think it's beautiful.
But what is that though? Because it's not it's just not Americans or white Americans or black
populism
Americans.
And like, nationalism.
Like you can go to other countries and it's just like. Like you said, like they just really don't care or want to know or don't want to understand. And it's just like they just look at other cultures as like evil or, you know, less than.
But that's a lack of education.
Yeah.
And I think some of the people who, you know, like I said, you can say that you don't want to explain that you don't have to explain yourself. That's fine if that's, you don't have mm-hmm. to do everything. I don't feel like everything is meant for everyone. Mm-hmm. But me, a person who's open to, yes, I don't mind sharing this. And I've had people when I'm sharing my experiences, they're like, don't tell me about it because that's too sad. I'm like, okay, but that's crazy, right? Why are you shying away from the fact that somebody has had a more difficult life than you? But the thing is that we've given people like the power or at least the cover to shy away from things like that. No, if there are other people on this earth that you share this earth with, mm-hmm. you should be able to understand them.
Yeah.
I feel like you should be able to communicate with them without any type of vitriol, without any anger, without any defensiveness.
That's true.
And that's how I move forward. So if anybody wants to ask me a question, of course, I just ask that you be respectful. Because I'm going to respect you as a person. Yeah. Respect me. Like, if somebody was to come up here and like, what's up? What's this question? Then I'd be like, oh, so you should go drown yourself in a shallow thimble or something. But absent that, I'm always open.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's I guess you made a bunch of valid points. So I guess that's a way to explain racism. Like, they have to be open. They have to be willing to learn and, you know, just not be ignorant and make assumptions about other cultures or other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just give everybody a chance.
Yeah. I think the world is a beautiful place and there's so much to share. I mean, yeah. I see other things. I remember hanging out with my homegirl who is, well, my former homegirl. She was Taiwanese. And... the shit that she does was hella fun and I was super into it and I didn't think it was weird me being around. I mean, perhaps her other Taiwanese friend, they used to like whisper in Mandarin.
Yeah, like what's up?
Yeah, what the fuck is this giant doing here? But I mean, me and her were always having a great time. We're like whoop whoop and I brought her everywhere I went to.
Yeah.
It was fun. I mean, sharing is fun, and so long as you have an open mind and an open heart, I think that it can be a wonderful experience for all involved. But thank you for joining us again today for this another segment of Ask a Black Lady.
Ask a Black Lady.
Again.
Ask two black ladies.
Well, yeah.
You get two.
Yeah. But again, please feel free to like, comment, share. No, actually not please feel free. Like,
comment, share. Save the video.
Save the videos. We learned about that in the metrics. Subscribe. And follow us on all of social media. I mean, we're trying hard to bring you content and bring mm-hmm. you things that you enjoy. Please feel free to... share your support and encouragement. We look forward to hearing from all of you, giving your feedback. Yeah. I'm getting...
Keep the questions coming.
Yes, keep the questions coming. They're really fun.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, and we hope you have a wonderful week.
Bye.